Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. Ha. With Kat and Pat.
Hey.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
Well,
hey.
It's Kat.
It's Patrick.
And this is a podcast.
And this is actually a call. And it's gonna, today it's called... Just for today, it's called Seek Treatment.
Yeah, and just for today, it's about boys, sex, fucking, dating, and love. And you know what's so funny, Pat?
What?
My new thing is microwaving sweet potatoes and then, like, mashing them up, like, making mashed sweet potatoes. And
see,
what do you think about that?
I have a I already have a thought. There's something about microwaves that there's something inherently sad about, like, trying your best with a microwave to make something work. And when I'm saying this, I'm talking about reheating pizza. I'm talking about there needs to be a German word for, like, when you think something can work with a microwave, and, like, it does, in a way it does, but it's just really saddening also. Like, things are softer than they should be. When I was a tween, I would go absolutely off for when, like, my parents would get cold cuts, I would have a roll, melt American on turkey, but it would make the bread too soft. So then I would take a plate, just put turkey and American cheese on it, melt, and then put that onto an unmicrowaved roll.
That's, like, literally what they do at Subway.
Yeah, I basically was a Subway sandwich artist.
A one-stop
a young
shop.
Child. I'll always remember the first time I had Subway. It was, like, huge. Subway was one of those things that, like, came out. You know what I mean? Like... You didn't have it when you were, like, 9, and then you found out about it from Happy Gilmore, and then, like, one day, finally, your family got it.
For me, Subway was about one time my aunt, I must have been no more than 6, 7, 8 years old, my aunt took me on, like, a special aunt-niece day, and we went to the...
Oh, aunts love that.
Aunts love that. Aunts love that. And we went to this, like, waterfall that's outside of a shopping mall, like, to look at it, and she was like, let's get a picnic, and we went to Subway, and what I got was, and this, I don't think they have this anymore, and I don't want to getting one too excited, but it was essentially, I guess, a kid's meal Subway, but it was a roll with turkey.
A roll with, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and I thought, I was like, this is delicious. And you know, the thing about being a kid is that there's so many ingredients that you haven't tasted yet. So when you eat an adult sandwich, or when someone else gets you a sandwich, you're like, what is going on inside this bread?
I know. I always remember, like, being in New Jersey, and my aunt was driving me home from New Jersey. I was at my cousin's house, and my uncle was, like, making us sandwiches for the ride, and he was like, do you want mustard or mayo? And I was like, neither. And he was like, it's gonna be really dry. And I was like, that's okay with me. Like, I don't want mustard, and I don't want mayo. And now, obviously, as a 32 plus year old gay man living in New York, I love mayonnaise.
I'm not afraid to let it shine. When it comes to mayonnaise, I'm not afraid to let it shine.
I'm so unafraid to let mayonnaise shine.
The point is, so my new thing, and you probably noticed this about me, is that the past 2 weeks I said, enough is enough. You need to cook some meals. You can't have takeout every night. You're ruining your body. You're ruining the environment. You're ruining everything. So what I did was I went ahead and bought, because you know I famously have mini fridge, mini stove, mini everything. I bought on Wayfair.com, a terrible website, mind you, a rolling kitchen cart that, and it does not fit in the apartment, but now I have place to cook. You want to see it?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have a ton of space in your apartment.
There it is. Here's my girl.
That looks... Oh, okay. I was like, that's a guitar, Catherine.
You can make stuff on that. You can make stuff on a guitar if you're a girl. So basically now, the past 2 weeks, I've made all my meals. I've only ordered takeout once, and it was because I was with a friend. And I had a friend over. It's like I'm middle school. But my new thing I'm making is... mashed sweet potatoes and chicken sausage. And I just kind of mush it all together.
Oh, that's incredible. So I went through this phase recently where basically, so my hashtag eating disorder lady, who I connect with over Zoom.
Her name is Brianna.
Her name actually is Blake, which is incredible for me.
And also the name Blake is the same name as Brianna.
So she was like, we were talking about making food, and she was like, she said this sentence. She said, your quality of life goes up so much when you can prepare your own food. And that really was like aspirational to me. And so I did start cooking, but you know, I rely too heavily on the famous ingredient ground beef to like make things,
okay.
like whether it be meatballs, whether it be meatloaf, whether it be burgers, but I get the turkey version of that. Mm-hmm. And I basically started to feel bad for Angelo because he was like always eating my like weirdly shaped ground turkey, like just a different shape of ground turkey every night. And
so do you make burgers or what do you make?
I would make burger. Basically, like I would make anything I used to make for the kids when I nannied, a famous chapter of my life that everyone always talks about. And so either like Taco Bells or turkey burgers, or you know, I did make this thing, and a lot of people think it's really well. When I say a lot of people think it's really gross, I mean there's a part of me inside of myself that's embarrassed about it. But you know, you take a like a cupcake tin, and I fill that, and it's like kind of like mini like cupcakes of meatloaf.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's obviously incredible.
So is it just turkey, or do you put like spices and breadcrumbs or something?
Oh, I absolutely put spices in it. Sometimes if I'm feeling really like a kinky slut, I'll like chop up onions and like what have you and put them in.
I was wondering if are eggs involved? Not to overstep here.
Yeah, eggs can be involved depending if I want the thing to stick together. So if it's like a, you know, if it's like a turkey burger, of course. If it's a meat muffin, of course.
Meat muffin.
But if it's, but if
that's
it's
like your
ground,
favorite porn website.
Yes. Oh my god! But I have a new favorite porn website that I've talked about publicly.
Which one? Like
GayMailTube.com. It's the most user friendly experience you could ever imagine. My only complaint is that sometimes they like randomly will throw they will throw in at you a straight porn randomly, like in a search. Like you'll click married. Obviously, if you're on GayMailTube and you click married, you want to see a man who's married to a woman. She goes out, right. And then his friend comes over the game.
When the wife's away.
And
the gay guy will
play. Well, yes, and they make a bet on the game, and if whoever loses the bet has to suck the other one's dick and then ultimately get fucked. That's but sometimes they'll throw in like literal married straight couples.
You scroll, it's me and Brian.
Literally, you know what the sensation is. It's like when you bite into what you think is an M&M and it's a Skittle, when there's a Skittle mixed in with all the M&Ms, and it's so jarring. That's what gay male tube will do to you. Oh god, I should curate gay porn. And I also, there was something else I was thinking about where I was like, oh, I should like curate that. Like I know exactly what it should be, but maybe it was just gay porn.
Oh my god, so the reason I brought this up is because my microwave keeps beeping even though the time's up. And I'm like, do I need to go over and press it? Or I'm kind of locked and loaded here with the microphone and the headphones.
I'm actually so glad that you said the word microwave because there, you know, I used a microwave recently and I literally said, you know what, I have to use my platform on this podcast to talk about this, mm-hmm. because, you know, it used to be with microwaves back when I was seven, being a Subway
back when I was
artist,
seven.
you know, you would to put in like, you know, a minute, 30 seconds, like 45 seconds, you would just type it. Now, how many microwaves operate is you put it in, you press, say you want it to 45 seconds, you press four, it immediately goes to 4 minutes and starts.
I know,
like,
I can't deal with
it's like,
that.
How,
I know.
What is going on?
It's too
like,
much.
It's like,
they think you don't have time, but you have time.
You have time and it's like, you need to wait until you know what I'm putting in because I am not actually going to microwave something for 4 minutes.
You know what my thing is with microwaves? Also, I'm so glad you said the word microwave as well, because what I want to say about microwaves is that my boyfriend, I didn't know this about him until quarantine, but he really has no relationship to microwaves. Like, he had no idea how long it takes to heat something up, and things actually take a lot longer than you think to heat them up, like a soup, for example. You're gonna have
but they take a lot longer, but they also take a lot shorter, some of them.
They take a lot longer. Oh, but they, you know when they take a lot shorter?
Every
they, look
once
at
in
me,
a while, you'll,
they take a lot shorter when you're putting a tortilla and a cheese stick in the microwave, which was my favorite snack
yes,
growing up.
Anything with cheese, it'll come out bubbling, sizzling.
When it's hard?
Bubbling,
when
sizzling.
It gets hard?
Yeah. But it's no, oh my god, young me was always trying to figure out like, how do you make nachos? Like, it feels like you should be able to just put cheese in the microwave and like it should come out. It's like,
yeah, you know they don't tell you is that nacho cheese is actually like milk and flour. Flour is this sneaky little girl.
I didn't know that.
Flour is in so much. No one tells you that until you're kind of cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Should we bring in our Gorst?
Oh my god, I'm so excited
for
our guest.
Oh my god.
I have a little Twitter crush on our guest, to use kind of a term that's
sounding very modern.
that's sounding very modern.
I too and have so admired our guest from afar on Twitter, and I hope that she enjoys the experience of being on my world famous podcast.
Me too.
So would you put your ears open?
Ears open.
For Nori
for
Reed.
For Nori Reed.
Oh my God.
Hi.
Welcome, girl.
Hello.
Can you hear us okay?
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Ooh, it's time for the podcast. Someone set an alarm.
Can you hear me? You can hear me?
Yes. It's a little quiet, if I'm being
honest.
Let me
mess around because I'm literally clocking out of my job. This is like, that's what's happening.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I love that. What's your job?
Don't get fired on our behalf.
I have a feeling that our producer, Allison, wants to say something about the setup. Allison? And definitely keep this in the app.
Go into the Zoom preferences and just make sure the input is switched to the mic.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge part of having a microphone is having someone tell you to do that.
I think I fixed it. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell you what a whole new world this is. Hearing you using the microphone.
Okay.
That is
incredible.
Divine.
Oh, my God. Now I'm luxuriating.
I feel like I got LASIK for my ears. I can finally hear.
Literally, it would. So Nori, what is your job, and are you fine?
And how are you?
I'm good. I'm like a customer service rep.
Yeah, a lot of comedians are that.
Pants? Is it for that pants company? Do you know what I'm talking about?
You know, it's not for pants. It's not for Parade. It's not.
Oh my God! What can you explain Parade to me?
You know, it's like people with bodies. You know, if you have a body,
you're parade. Let me tell you this, they sent me underwear, and when I got them they were so small, but I didn't know who to reach out to, like, hey, can you actually send me more free stuff? And that's kind of so I never talked to them again.
This is actually so true. The market is flooded with underwear that is too small. Like, I've been sent underwear that's too small. Yeah.
Same here.
That's
they
happened
sent me
to me
underwear it mm-hmm. was they sent me the wrong size, which just immediately felt like, do you even see me? Like, do you even?
Yeah. Does Parade even see me?
Am I being seen? Am I being respected? Yes. And I felt disrespected. It was too small. Mm-hmm. I asked for a brief cut because, like, I'm a high-waisted mm-hmm. girl. That's kind of a.
Me too.
And it was the lowest cut you could ever imagine. So
no, yeah. No. Yeah. I'm shaking. I'm shaking, crying, trembling, chills on my body.
Remember when, like, the fad in women's underwear was like the Cameron Diaz, like, little boy
yes.
underwear,
oh,
like Super
God.
Mario? That was like the sluttiest thing you could ever do in your life. It's like
yes.
what a weird phenomenon.
I'm so glad you reminded me of that. I was like, that is so sexy to wear, like, a 7-year-old boy's, like, what's it called when they had the lines over the dick?
Yeah, I don't. It's just called, like, underwear, little boy underwear. That what's crazy as a I don't know, it was just really crazy. You know what I think about all the time? Did you guys ever see the movie The Sweetest Thing? Selma Blair, Cameron Diaz, and someone else I forget. Oh, Christina Applegate.
Selma Blair gets her uvula stuck on a cock ring.
Oh, that happened?
Yeah, one of the many.
I just remember the song where it's like, you're too big to fit in here, too big to fit in here, too big. Do you remember that song?
No.
Oh, they start singing this song. It's a really fever dream of a movie where all of a sudden, Selma Blair, Cameron Diaz, and Christina Applegate start singing a song entitled, You're Too Big to Fit in Here. Oh. And they point to all their holes when they say, too big to fit in here.
Like, that sounds amazing.
I forget why the plot called for that. Why the plot called for them to start singing that song.
Why the plot thickened, like, to such a point that was needed. Hard to say.
But, you know, I had a huge chunk of my life where I was always, like, I was always interviewing for customer service positions and, like, always, like, being told no. Like, I couldn't get past the gatekeepers of that industry.
It's funny because you have to act like, in the interview, you have to be like, my life is about service. Like, I'm nothing makes me happier than if someone wants pants. And then it's like, oh my God, like, are you talking about, like, Bonobos hat? Okay.
Yeah, yes, yeah, thank okay. you. Thank you for
Bonobos keep, is
I feel
Bonobos
seen.
Is one of the places that told me no. Bonobos
you're giving
is
too
one
much
of
a top dom energy, and they're looking for, like, a sub bottom
totally.
Kind of, like, I just want to help you get pants, sir daddy.
I become, when I'm in a job interview for like a place like that, like I become the most sexless, like robotic, like non-person ever imaginable.
Because what's happening is like before, like, you know, okay, what's the vibe? Can we talk about the pandemic? Or are we like not talking about the pandemic?
We can talk about everything and anything. There's no rules. I'm a cool mom on the podcast.
Because like some people, like some things, like the vibe is like, don't you dare fucking mention the pandemic. Or like, I'll fucking kill you.
We're not that.
And then,
oh my god, that is so scary.
Okay, but like before, you know, pre-core, I could balance the customer service job with stand-up. So like I would still feel like hot and cool and like, oh my god, I'm a stand-up comedian.
Totally.
Like, that's so cool. And then now it's just the customer service job, and it's like I'm my name is Ruth, I'm 75 years old, I've never touched a man. How it feels like.
Yeah. I oh my god, one time I interviewed for, there was a huge boon going on in like the New York improv scene where everyone was working for Squarespace. Every single person.
I remember they rejected me.
So I went into Squarespace headquarters, saw literally everyone I've ever taken a UCB class with, like waved to everyone. Sit in this room. I swear to god, a parade of five different people came down and sat down for, I kid you not, 45 minutes each, and I was literally being job interviewed for like 3 hours, like in that space of being like, I guess, you know, my biggest time I ever had to be on a team would have been college cross country, you know.
My biggest
time. I really was passionate. And then they were like, we don't want you. And I was like, couldn't the third person, I guess then all the five people kind of came together in a council and were like, how did you guys feel about Pat? Mm-hmm. You know, it's so crazy how Squarespace was.
But when it comes to your job, like, do you have to be so present the whole day? Or is it kind of like, look at me, like, I'm kind of online, kind of
you
not?
You have to be so present. And I oh wish it was, like, more of a spiritual practice. Like, that would feel really good if it helped me with my issues. But it's more so, like, I'm on the Messenger app. So, like, people really expect an immediate kind of response.
Oh, my God.
And it's also, it's a company that's within the industry. And so
I'm scared. I know. So it's a lot of producers.
Oh no! And wait, so, it's a pants company. No,
it's a pants company for producers.
There's no pants.
There's not pants.
No pants.
I just had a crazy, crazy, crazy memory of when I used to work as an office PA and for a promo department, and one of the biggest jobs is you'd have to like sit in on like VO sessions, and the craziest VO people would come in, and like there was this one who was like in charge of all of our sexy things. Like she'd be like, she was the one who was like, next week on Gigolos. And I googled her because I was curious about her, and oh my god, I wish I could remember the exact wording. She did a one woman show that was like a masterfully told story whispered into the ear of a blindfolded audience of one.
Oh.
That was like her art. It's like you would go sit down and blindfold yourself and she would come and whisper a story into your ear. That's what I want our podcast to be, is a masterfully told story whispered into a blindfolded audience of one.
Wow.
Nicole something was that woman's name. If you were ever in the audience of the blindfolded audience
Please
of one
out.
And Nicole something, reach out towards me.
I think her name is actually...
Remember when I went to your job?
It was I will come forward as the network being Showtime, and it was like she did like the L word, the real L word, and like which was sex... Which was by nature dirty and sexual because it was about queer people. And then there was like polyamory. There was one polyamory, which was kind of ahead of its time, which told the story of three different polyamorous pods. And then there was Gigolos, which is about Vegas gigolos, which made me so horny.
Pat, remember, and Nori, I'm sorry to keep harping on this, but Pat isn't connecting with me. Remember when I went to the Showtime office and
yes,
I didn't know where, and there was a guy there and... I was like, oh, do you know Pat? Like, I do my, I was like, he's so funny. And he was like, oh, is he? Or he was like, yeah.
He was. Oh, wait, I know. I know this. I don't know if you guys in Office Spaces, like, I became a very small person, which was always very difficult when people found out I did stand up or improv or whatever, because I literally was unable to talk and I think my first big chunk of time at Showtime I was closeted still, so it was literally like don't say anything ever is kind of the goal of your life right now.
Yeah, when I first started my job, I was I had just moved to LA and was like doing stand up in the LA community. And the alt
welcome to heaven.
Yeah, and I would have to tell my boss like I would need to like leave early or something for something, and she would always like she thought she was being extremely supportive by being like, "Oh my God, post the link, like post the tickets in the main chat so that everyone can go." And I'm like, that's such a separate kind of a.
Oh my God, you just unlocked a really intense memory for me, which was that I briefly had this personal trainer at Equinox named Jason who didn't help me at all, and I actually gained weight while working out with him. But shout out to him. And what I want to say is that I made the mistake similarly being like, I have a show, and then he sent it to all the everyone who works at Equinox Williamsburg.
Oh my God. I worked famously worked as a temp gay receptionist at a commercial realty firm, and maybe it was probably 2018, and this was one of my first day jobs like sober, which was different than my old day jobs drunk, and so it was a very interesting experience. And there was this person, I think it was the CFO, his name was Jag, and he made my life truly so miserable. And he knew I did stand up. And anyways, one time as we were coming, one of my first weeks, there was going to be a like cocktails, like a after work happy hour. And Jag came over to my kind of receptionist desk, and he was like, "Are you coming? This is what he said. He was like, "Are you even old enough to drink?" And I was like, "I'm actually 30, whatever." And he said something, but I ended up being like, "But I don't drink." And he was like, "Oh, okay, whatever." So then I go, it's after work, I'm like finishing shit up, and like they're all like a couple feet away. So they're like, come over. So I go over, literally I'm 3 feet, I'm like still 5 feet away, like approaching the big group of people. And Jag goes, "Patrick has a drinking problem."
No.
And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "That's what you said, right? That you have a drinking problem." And I was I was like, "I don't drink." And then the boss, like the CEO, was like, "So you're going to do stand-up comedy at this happy hour, right?" And I was like, "No." And everyone's like, "Do it, come on, do it. Like, we love comedy. I was like, "I can't explain to you why, but I actually can't do this." And then the boss was Craig, the like big boss, like literally
the
like
boss.
He literally leans in and goes, "You know, like kind of the whole reason we're having this happy hour is so you would do some stand-up." I was like, "I can't." I was like, "Next time" or something. It was really crazy. Yeah. And then I jetted downtown to Pit Loft to absolutely slay.
Oh, fuck yes. Get scouted. Get spotted. Hello. It's me, Kitty Cat Coco. So I was just thinking, do y'all sometimes need to unwind after a long day of Zoom calls? Or are you looking for some new self-care ideas? Or maybe you're just looking for a way to get out of a funk and start feeling like yourself again? Well, I honestly can 100% recommend that you reset and reconnect with yourself with Dipsy. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. I've used it. It's literally so horny. Each Gypsy story features characters that feel like real people in immersive scenarios, so you feel like you're right there. You can find stories about an off-limits hookup with your professor, or a costume party that takes things to the next level, or maybe a story where your partner tells you exactly what to do, or you try a new toy together. Oh my God, I'm getting really aroused. You know, they release new stories every week, so there's always more to explore, no matter who you're into or what turns you on, baby. Dipsy also has a wellness section so you can learn more about yourself. It also has like bedtime stories and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. I mean, we love it. And so I've truly used Dipsy, and I listened to this hot story, and it was an amazing way to jerk off. Love it. So for listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/seek treatment. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/seek treatment. Once again, that's dipsystories.com/seek treatment. Love it. Whether you work for yourself or you're part of a team, It's time to get creative. Yes, make your online presence and your business stand out from the rest with Issue. Issue is the all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital content, from marketing materials to magazines to flipbooks and brochures and more. PDFs are outdated, babe. Move on and grow up. Issue makes content better. Issue also works seamlessly with tools you already use, like Canva, Dropbox, and InDesign. Make it once and distribute it everywhere without reformatting. Your content is already optimized for engagement and ready to share. Issue helps creators, marketers, designers, and anyone who wants to make content that stands out. And you can start using Issue for free. They also offer premium features that give a more customized experience. So get started with Issue today for free. Or if you sign up for a premium account, you can get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use the promo code SEEKTREATMENT. That's ISSUU.com/podcast and use the promo code SEEKTREATMENT at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. Oh my God, I love that. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code SEEKTREATMENT. Nori, we got to just dive into this. You know, we've never met in person, but I'm really glad to meet you via podcast.
Yes, so good to meet you.
And I've admired you from afar. And I was just wondering, on this podcast, this famous podcast, we ask all our guests, you know, who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be? And we want to know your whole life story, your whole vibe, what makes you tick, etc.
I feel like you're someone who I identify you as having exploded onto the scene.
Blasted onto the scene.
You blasted and exploded onto the scene.
Congratulations.
Oh my God.
Congratulations. Oh my God.
What's it like to explode onto the scene?
I will. Okay. It's so funny because, like, I feel like Lizzo in the way that, like, people were like, how was it to be like, you just exploded into the world? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I used to sleep in my car in Detroit. Like, fuck you. Okay. I think a good way to frame this is actually, Kat, we have met once. Just once.
And
listen, I'm not, this is
okay,
it.
Now I'm the rudest person in America.
No, this is not.
Where was it?
This isn't like a weird thing, but it's good for your question. We met at Clusterfest, the last one.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that is what kind of happened for me. That was like the thing.
Yeah.
Wait, I feel like the biggest bitch in the world, and you're mad at me.
No. You were lovely.
Nori, it's okay if you're mad at me.
You were super sweet.
Where were we? Like, paint me a picture.
Okay, we were making love, and
we were up in the Zappy Hotel or whatever it was called, with the guitars on the wall.
There was guitars.
So were you living in San Francisco at the time, in Oakland?
Yes. I'm gonna say something really stupid, which is, can you finally answer the question? Like, is Oakland San Francisco? Like, what is going on?
Oh my God. Okay, so first of all, they are two very different cities. I think people who are like from New York like see Oakland as the Brooklyn of San Francisco.
Yeah, people love
but
that.
But it's not true. Yeah. It's like they're two very different cities. And like they're not connected very well through transportation either. So it's not like a zippity zop, like I'm from like Manhattan to Brooklyn. It's like they're like two cities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know.
So how far are they apart?
You know,
if there's two trains leaving the station at 8 a.m., no, et cetera.
I mean, I feel like obviously over the years through gentrification, like through tech, they became more connected as people like bled into Oakland and like ruined it. But like,
love that.
Which is so funny because like tech has now fled the Bay. Like tech is gone. They're gone.
I heard it's going to Austin.
Really? Oh my God, they're going to Austin.
Tech is going to Austin. I had no idea.
Yes, because of taxes.
Okay, so You're at Clusterfest.
So you're born
You're born in Oakland. No, you're born at Clusterfest.
I was born in Kentucky.
Oh my God, Kentucky.
That's where I come from.
Oh my God.
I'm from the South. I'm from Kentucky.
Oh wow.
It makes no sense like why I was there or like what it like I'm from like a small farm town and the only person who came from it is Bell Hooks, which is like the most random. Like, literally, like, the black feminist author, like, Bell Hooks, who hates Beyonce.
Oh, my God.
Christian County.
Oh, my God.
It's called Christian County, like, the name.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, that is...
How did your parents end up there? Are they from there?
Yes, my mom is Korean, and my dad is white, and there was an army base, which is, you know, that's the... That's how the, you know, Asian...
Kentucky.
Came to be.
Yeah.
So then you're like, help, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Exactly. It's like, as I knew I was queer from like the moment I was born. It was like, I'm, you know what? It's funny because I think I'm like trans class because like I grew up like pretty poor, but like always knew I was supposed to be rich. It was like, it was something inside of me that I knew that like I was not supposed to be poor. I was supposed to be rich and I needed to fix that.
Born this way. You were born this way about being rich.
Yes, by being a customer service representative.
Clawing your way to the top.
Yeah, so basically like, I think for like queer people, like a big common theme is education, like being the way to like get out of your town. Like you make good grades, like literally just to like go to college like somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like made good grades, went to college at like a liberal arts school.
Where at?
Kenyon College.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I think I've heard of that. I think it's chic. Where is that again?
It's Oberlin's.
It's very like
sister.
Smart, artsy, like good writers.
I hate when schools are sisters. I'm like, sisters. It's like Barnard and Columbia.
Let them be
it's
sisters.
Like,
let them be sisters.
Sisters.
Schools can be sisters too. I'm sick of this. Your worldview. Open it.
Okay, I'll let them be some. I'll let Kenyon be.
So Kenyon, is it in Ohio?
Kenyon is in Ohio, and it's like where all the like bougie kids from the two coasts go when they want like a farm experience.
Totally.
For 4 years.
So what was it like, you got there, you're a freshman, you're like, who am I here? Were you like, time to reinvent myself? Or were you like...
I had a full nervous breakdown.
Oh my God.
Like literally, because I came from a conservative small town where there wasn't one gay person. There wasn't one person who was Jewish. There wasn't, like, there was no one there. And I suddenly was like in this liberal place where like, people were just like pegging each other, like on the quad, like, you know how it is. And
so romantic.
So I had like had a nervous breakdown, and the school like very like nicely asked me in a very supportive way to go see a therapist. They were like, it could be kind of cool if you like saw a therapist, like seek treatment. You know what I mean?
Yes. Your college told you to seek treat.
Yes.
That's kind of cool though.
It was cool.
They were like aware.
That was my first taste of therapy, which I've been obsessed with ever since. Therapy's the best thing that's ever happened in the world.
Ladle it up, lap it up. Love. I love it.
Love.
I had therapy today. I'm finally starting to kind of like therapy, kind of. My therapist is now really into this doing. He's into doing this thing now where he has me talk to like different versions of myself from the past. And
I don't like that.
It obviously is humiliating. Well, it's obviously humiliating like from the very first second, but then like it always kind of is fun.
Does he role play different parts of you? Like is he involved in this?
No.
Okay.
He's kind of like the director of the show in terms of like, he'll be like this. He'll be like, so can you tell him that that it's going to be okay? Like he'll be like, what does he think of you, that boy? What does he think of you today? Can he tell you're gay? Just like
he's like, and kiss, and now kiss.
We're taking this to the pit loft.
He's fully jerking off.
Oh God, yeah. That I love therapy. No, I'm just kidding. I love when they jerk off. And yeah. So then after college, I was like, okay, I came out as queer and was like, okay, whatever, whatever. And then moved.
Did
to
you
New
do
York.
Comedy in college?
I didn't. I did not do any.
Me either.
I was just like a normal drunk person. I was just drunk.
Yeah, me too.
And I still had demons. Like I still had like a lot of demons. You know what I mean?
It's so fun to be drunk sometimes.
I know. It's like, it's so good.
Wait, so...
did you say you still had demons or you still have demons?
I did. I still had a lot of issues. I still had like, even though I came out as queer, I still wasn't like, I still didn't have a full understanding of like who I was as a person, which I guess like that's really relatable to anyone that age. Like you're just...
Totally.
Like I just rewatched the entirety of Girls, which I highly recommend.
Okay, we love it on this podcast. We're obsessed with
my sexual partner never had seen it, so we truly just watched almost all of it.
Yeah. It's so funny.
I was sobbing at the end, just like crying because of the development. It's really good.
Yeah, it is really good. My favorite part is the interviews after the apps, where you're like, oh, I see what you did there. I didn't obviously notice it while I was watching. Oh, it's so fun. It's like Judd, Jenny Connor, and Lena.
Yeah,
and, like,
people love to hate it, and it's like, grow up. Get some taste and call me back, is what I say.
Fun fact is that my first taste of show business was I went on a random date with Jenny Connor's ex-husband in San Francisco when he was the CEO of Lenny's Letter. So he was the CEO of Lenny's Letter.
Oh my God, I used to love Lenny Letter.
Yeah, he was like in that world. Is it Lenny Letter? I'm so sorry, I probably fucked it up. Okay.
I'm so upset.
But we met on Tinder and it was just like a random date. And then he was like, did you look me up? And I was like, bitch, no. Like, what are you talking about? And then I found out who he was, whatever, whatever. This was even before I started doing comedy. And then he really liked the date. And then we went on a second date. That he was just there for the weekend. So it was like a weekend thing. We went on a second date and he was like, I think you're like a performer.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He literally was like, he was like, you're really funny. And I think that you're kind of like, he said I was a star. Is that disgusting?
Oh my God.
You are a star. No. That's amazing.
You, Nori, I have to tell you, you are a star. You do have so much star qual.
You really do. You have
literally.
Thank you.
Since the second your little box popped up on my screen, I've been very enamored.
He was like, we could have sex and we could like do that, but also like I kind of just think you're cool. And it's funny because as a woman, at first I just felt rejected. Like, right. I don't know if you relate to that.
And you don't want
to
fuck me?
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm fat. Or like, it just like made me feel fat.
Oh, and you think I'm a star? I guess I'm fat for you.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'm a fat fucking bitch slut. And he was like, no, like you're a star. And I was like, okay, like shoot me in the face. Like, but anyways, we kept in touch after that Clusterfest. So at Clusterfest, I opened for Amy Poehler. She like.
Oh, shit. Amazing.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I feel like you've had so much success.
That's great because I had the worst time at Cluster. I did a show for people who were literally I was the first one and people, like, no one was even there when I started. People were walking in during my set and it was like fluorescent lighting in the audience and I was trying to like sing a song to a karaoke track and I was like, I flew to San Francisco for this. That's what I said again and again. But I'm glad you had a good time.
Were you on the Up Next lineup and then you also opened for Amy?
This is what happened. So I wasn't even considered for the Up Next lineup because I got no respect in fucking San Francisco and the scene. And I was kind of sad about it. And I actually was feeling really down about comedy and was like, I think I'm done. I'm just not getting any, no one cares. I get an email from Amy Poehler's assistant that's like, she saw all your videos online and she is obsessed with them. And I found out later that she watched my videos with Paula Pell. Like they watched them all together.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Oh my God.
She was like, are you free on this date to open for Amy? It's going to be on the main stage and it's opening night. And I was like,
Holy shit.
I thought it was a prank because my friends are assholes. So I thought that it was like some sort of
that would
thing.
Be so mean.
It was like Charles Rogers. That's something like Charles Rogers.
Yes. Like it felt really like mean and all my friends are mean. And so it was real. And I performed for like 8,000 people.
My God.
And that's amazing. It was just wild. And the lineup was like Fred Armisen, Paula Pell, and Janine Brito, and like me. Like that was the. It made no sense. The whole thing was so surreal. And Kat, like, I'm sure you know this, like, the vibe at Clusterfest was so bad. Like, it was just, like, people were so stressed out, and, like, all the industry was there, so it was so, like, people were just, like, not their best selves. Like, it was very stressful, and everyone was drinking because it was just so stressful. I don't know.
But I also feel like there was no place to really hang. Like, there was kind of, like, a wet hallway, and I feel like everyone was kind of, like, in a cold
hallway.
It was like
an airport.
Like, tiny wine cups.
I went the year before that for Up Next, and while I did feel the room, like the Up Next room performing in it is like not the best room because it's like I feel like people are sitting on the floor. It's like industry sitting on the floor, and it's like you with like a 5 minute timer counting down. So like that wasn't. But I do have to say that ultimately that was like the funnest weekend for me because so many of my friends were there. It felt like college. Like it felt like a college quad And I literally hadn't flown that much before that. So like being in a different place was so fun.
It was like exciting. And I met like so many amazing people, including Kat, you know,
that was a joke. So many amazing, kind, thoughtful people who I stayed in touch with every day since.
Listen.
Like, what I could, you know, part of me is like, I could be like, I remember now, but I'm like, am I just creating the memory? Because now I'm seeing you and I'm like, yes. Listen, and it's like,
it's fine. Someone introduced us. It was like a group of people. I think it was Mary Beth is the person who introduced us. Who
okay, that that scans, as they say.
Right?
I love Mary Beth.
And I think it was like Sydney was there. It was like Sydney.
I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll go back there in 10 years. Same place. we'll re-meet.
I would love to go back to Cluster.
Me too.
I will publicly say that.
Even though I publicly bashed it, I would absolutely love to go if we're ever allowed to perform ever again.
So Nori, was that like a dream come true? Like that was that like, oh my God, okay. My dreams are actually coming true.
It was a dream. And then if I can just be completely honest, it was a little bit of a nightmare.
Of course.
Because then all the people in the local scene were mad at me because no one from the Up Next showcase in the Bay got into Clusterfest.
Oh,
They didn't select anyone from that showcase.
So they're mad.
And so they were like, yeah, it was weird.
Nori, people love to pretend they want you to succeed. And then when you do, they can't handle it. It's infuriating.
Yeah. It got a little weird, and then I wasn't prepared, so then my mental health started suffering.
Oh, no.
Just from, like, I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, kind of intense. And then here we go. The person I was talking about who I went on the date with, I called him. This is real life. I called him, and I said, Benny, I'm overwhelmed. This thing just happened. I have no idea what I'm doing. All these people gave me their numbers from, like, different agencies, but I don't even know what to do or like I was so outside of my comfort zone. I was like, am I allowed to Amy had told me that I could like reach out to her like and come to LA, and I was like, can I do that? Like I had like all these questions. And so he actually got me my manager because he used to date, I guess he's fucked everyone.
Like, yeah, I was like,
let's
yeah.
get real.
I was like, let's get this guy on the pod. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Benny has fucked everyone. He used to date this really amazing manager, and so he hooked me up with her, and she started coaching me, like, on the phone, and she would, like, help give me advice and things like that. She was hip-pocketing or whatever the term is, and so she invited me to come to LA to come to, like, meet with her, and then it's so funny because we met, and then, long story short, I have a manager who's not directly her because she represents like famous people. And at a certain point she was like, Nori, like I cannot be your manager. She's like, I literally represent famous people. Like, like let's get, she was like, I'm helping you because I like you, but I'm just gonna be really real with you. I'm literally like, I'm amazing. Like you, I can't. And so anyway, she's like
we can do, she also was like, we can do sex, we could do that, but yeah.
She was like, listen, we're going to have sex once, no, okay? But anyways, now she's my, like, godmother manager, and then I have a different manager who's my day-to-day.
It's like a sorority. You're big, and you're big. Yeah, sister, to bring it back.
Sisters.
It's a sister college. Yeah. Wow. Now, ooh. How did you get from Oberlin sister to Oakland?
Yeah, so I moved to New York the day I graduated, because I didn't want to go back to Kentucky, obviously. Yeah. And so I worked in like fashion first, and then I worked in art. I worked at Gagosian Gallery, which is like a
fancy,
fucking awful, fancy, dark ship. Like, what is it called? The Empire? What's the Star Wars thing?
Darth the Sith?
Yeah.
Bart Sithson.
The star, the Death Star. It's the Death Star.
Warlock.
It's a warlock Death Star. Did that for a while. Kind of hated it so much. I didn't have the fortitude to like work in those environments. And I ultimately did get fired from the art gallery.
Ooh, that's glam. That's a girl's app.
Right?
The art world is so crazy.
I got fired because someone who was homeless came into the gallery, started swinging their bags around the Picassos. The security guard and him got into a fight. They both started bleeding. I called the police. And then the PR director, who was like basically like Samantha from Sex and the City, like same person, was like, honey, why did you call the police? And I was like, because they told me to. Like they were bleeding. And she was like, honey, like, that was a mistake. And I was like, what? And she said I should have called her. Like, she was the person to call. She was like, you know, we already have bad press. Like, literally, it was about.
Oh, my God.
And so the next day, I was the HR person came and hired me. Yeah.
That's crazy. Also, the way you said they started bleeding for some reason, I was picturing like almost kind of, it didn't like a, just a simultaneous stigmata. Yes. Like they didn't cause each other to bleed. They just both started like gushing blood. It was gorgeous. Blood.
Yes.
Did you ever read, the My Year of Rest and Relaxation?
No.
Because that girl got fired from an art gallery.
Same.
So you would enjoy it.
You might relate to that
book.
You
would enjoy it. You might relate
to that. My job was literally like loading and unloading the dishwasher. And like making sure that I knew, like I had to memorize a spreadsheet of like 100 rich white men who like all looked the same. And just like if any one of them walked in, I had to know exactly who they were and like call. That was like my job. That was like,
oh my God, it's so Devil Wears Prada.
It was pretty, it was kind of hot, but I got fired. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then I started working at Callan Lord. Which
I actually love that's incredible, that place. I really love that
and
place.
And I did HIV counseling there, which I actually, that was my favorite job I've ever had in my life because I loved it. I like loved it so much. And that was like my first taste of like being around trans people because up until that point, I had not been around trans people at all in my life. Even at college, there wasn't any trans representation or discussion. I don't remember any sort of trans references in college, like at all, if I think back on it. And so I was just like so in awe of these like trans women that I was working with. And at a certain point, I like had to ask myself, like, why am I so do you relate to that, like in your own development, where you hold someone with such high esteem that you're like, what is this? Like, why am I so like not obsessed, but like you realize it's like a mirror. Does that make any sense? I'm seeing myself of who I want to be. I think that's a human experience. Like
this is embarrassing, but I was not around gay people my entire life, and then when I went to UCB and saw like gay performers, I was like, oh, that is so, I have some fascination with these people that is like not a crush, it's not like anything like that, like it's, there's this like feeling of like, oh, I can do that.
My first question too was like, is this sexual? Like that was my first question. I was like, is this a sexual thing? And then I realized absolutely not, it's not that. It was just such a mad respect for their experience and for their fortitude and strength. It was like really about like, oh my God, this person is the strongest person I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And then I started working for a fashion designer who was trans, and she was like a narcissist, crazy bitch. And so one day she like pulled me aside and was like, Nori, you're trans. But because she was such a narcissist, I literally was like, oh my God, like she said she must think everyone's trans because that's like, she's fucking crazy. Like she's a crazy person, but she obviously was right. And then after that, it just kind of, I started seeing a therapist who like helped me kind of go through those types of things. And I realized for me that I just wanted to move to the Bay. Like that was, it's so funny. I just like uncovered memory is when I was little, I had seen some sort of on PBS or like public access television, there was like some sort of TV show about and it was featuring a trans woman who was transitioning in San Francisco. And I think it was like a very like core like memory or whatever. And so it just like made so much sense to me that like I wanted to move to the Bay and like transition. It was like, this is like what I need to do. And, but it's still, I was still in that in-between place of like not being completely comfortable with what I was doing. And so I made it about grad school. Do you know what I mean? I have to have a reason for why I'm moving to the Bay. That's like more on the surface. And so I was like, grad school.
You're like,
Oh my God.
Like, I'm studying for the GRE because I'm trans. Literally. And
yes. So I moved to the
what
Bay.
What did you study?
To be a therapist.
Oh my God. And I'm like, are you a therapist?
So you are a therapist? No, I went to school for, okay, so I went for one semester. So I am a therapist, to answer your question. I am. No. So I went for one semester and then was like, wait a second. You're telling me I have to listen to these people talk about their problems? Like, it didn't click for me that I'd have to, like, be a therapist. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
like, I'm going to have this white gay boy picture a smaller version of himself and ask what that person would see.
We had to do these, like, dyads, which are basically, like, a practice therapy session where you split into two and then you give each other therapy. And I, like, hated it so much.
Yeah. That sounds like a painful improv exercise.
It was like improv, like basically, and so like I would always be paired up with the most boring, basic, like white girl who had like boyfriend problems and
me.
Sorry.
Oh my God. We actually did meet before, and it was you.
I was giving you therapy, Kat.
Yeah. Oh fuck! I forgot about that. Yeah.
But like she would no, Kat. You're obviously not basic.
But I own it. I own.
But like it'd be like a straight like cis white girl like being like, yes, like Tony, like we went to Burning Man and now he's like he thinks he's queer, but he's not queer, and like he's painting his nails now and I don't know what that means.
Oh my God, guys are loving that. Straight guys are loving to do that.
They paint their nails now. Oh, really? Isn't that?
Yeah. I guess it's a okay. Bit. I didn't know that. Whatever they want. It feels aggressive. But it feels a lot. But I celebrate.
I just think that let us have some signifiers to kind of find each other. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like the word partner. That's so loaded.
Totally.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'll never forget when the manager at the retail store I worked at, who had a short haircut, told me that she was in a fight with her partner. And I thought truly for 8 months then that she was a lesbian. And then I realized she's just a straight woman with a short haircut who calls her boyfriend a partner.
Oh God. Yeah. No, I can't do that. I
don't support it either.
It's like you guys have sort of like hats. You have baseball caps you can use to kind of gesture towards each other. Like, I too am straight. You have kind of those, you have jerseys you can wear with your favorite player's name on the back that can say, oh, you're a straight man that enjoys football. Like, let us have something where we can say, oh, you're like me. You are wearing nail polish.
This might be problematic and I'm so sorry. And I'm a trans woman of color. Let me say whatever I want to say without consequence. So basically how I feel is like if a femme person wears like nail polish or a dress or things like that, obviously I'm like, I think that's great and powerful. But if like a straight bro like wears a dress and is like on TikTok and it's like super, he's like very masculine and then it's like a thing, there's something about it that doesn't feel right to me.
And yeah, I think you're probably sensing some sort
like queer
of like
baiting, or like there's something that that's like a feeling a little like, why are you taking this from us?
To me, it reminds me of like being at like the high school pep rally and the football players like they dress up as the cheerleaders, like as a joke. Yes. And I'm like, what's funny about that? Like, why is it funny? It's like
if Logan Paul like puts on a dress, something about that. Call me transphobic, but I don't like it. I think that's weird. It's not that it's weird. It's that it's
random.
False.
Exactly. I think you're sensing a certain disingenuousness.
Yes.
That's like, I don't think either you're trying to be impressive to me. Like, look how brave I am. Like, I wear dresses because I don't think there's a damn thing
wrong
with
that.
You know
what it is? It's that Logan Paul already. Okay, I'm just going to keep saying Logan Paul as an example. But like someone like Logan Paul already has so much social capital as a white cis man in America. Why are we giving them any more social capital just because they're like so brave that they're like wearing a dress? It doesn't like I don't like it.
Well, it also feels like there's a difference between and as a cis white person I absolutely can't say, but there's a difference between like you know, expressing your gender identity and like having power in that, or Logan Paul doing that when that's maybe not his gender identity, if it's not, you know, hypothetically, and just to kind of have some kind of cachet or to kind of, I don't know, like, virtue signal, I guess, but in a way that feels hollow and empty.
It's
I don't
like
know.
In our society, femme people are put down in so many ways. And like people who are femme have to like fight so hard for stuff and in like our patriarchy, like whatever, whatever. So like if someone who is on the more patriarchal side is using these like femme signifiers and taking them, it feels like warfare. I don't like, again, I don't know if this is fucked up. I don't know.
Dare I ask, like, what is everyone thinking? Like, what's the deal with Harry Styles?
That's okay, because he's more of a femme. So that's, he's a kind of a femme, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For him, but I think that's kind of that unknown, like that intangible, like that for some reason feels genuine to me, and I'm like, oh my God, that's beautiful. You know what I mean?
It feels genuine.
Yeah.
Like he really likes it.
Yeah. I think that's the difference, but I know it's just one of those things that it's like, everything, you know, I think as people have more perception and awareness, like it'll be one of those things that keeps changing for a little while.
I try really hard not to judge like people, but I'm such a judgmental. I'm so judgmental. Like
me too.
So
but that's like what
judgmental.
Makes. But that's like why struggle. Y'all are so funny.
That's true.
It's like, you know, it's like you have to know.
That's really true.
We have to keep being judgmental and cruel and ruthless and taking just no shit.
Prisoner.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Everyone has a right to their gender identity, period. But, question mark.
I do. period, period, period. Da, 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 da,
I want a pamphlet that says everyone has a right to their gender identity. question mark.
Well, I do think as a trans femme person, like, you should listen to the, like, those instincts, I'm sure, are coming from somewhere that's, like, so. Real. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm such a bitch. It's like, at some point, sometimes I feel, yeah, it's, I don't know. Listen, it's God bless America.
It's God bless America at the end of the day. Wear whatever you want. It's God bless America. We love this place. We love our government. We think it's cool and it's awesome and it's rock and roll.
Okay, here's the thing. I keep trying to end this and I keep making it go longer, but I'm like, okay, like my daily experience as a trans person is like hard. Like I went to Panda Express this week and I was misgendered like 4 times. Like it was, you know, I just wanted some like orange chicken and it was.
It's so good.
It's so good. And then also the misgendering.
I love Panda Express.
So it's like, I don't know. I just feel like trans people like have to put up with so much shit to like be who they are that it's like for me to get my orange chicken, I have to like go through that trauma. And it's just like Harry Styles like does when he gets orange chicken, what's his trauma? And that's my question, and I guess I'm done now. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that makes perfect sense.
That's real. That makes it total sense. So who are you now? Who is this girl who stands before me getting orange chicken and enjoying the orange
you're
chicken?
You're in the Bay. Your career explodes.
No, yeah, you're in LA.
Well, no. I know I'm saying that. I'm telling her story for her, Pat. I think it's my duty as a cis white girl who complains about her boyfriend to tell Nori's story for her. So she's in LA. You're in LA. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Who are you now?
I'm literally going to go to New Mexico.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
For like a sound bath or why?
I've been in LA since the pandemic and it's been like really weird. So I moved here right before the pandemic.
Oh my God.
So it's been a little bit of a nightmare because I feel like I was building community and it was going really well. And then the pandemic happened. And since then, it's been pretty isolating. And I've been doing my best and just kind of like, but my mental health is definitely like, I can feel it kind of like going down. Mm-hmm. And I have a really good friend who moved to Santa Fe, who is a therapist, a real therapist, not a fake one like me. And she was like, babe, just come, babe. Come to Santa Fe. Just come.
I love that.
That's like heaven on earth.
Right? And
I love a friend like that who takes care of you.
My job.
When are you going?
I'm leaving next weekend.
For how long?
I think for 2 months. For 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That'll be amazing.
That'll be heaven on earth.
I have a comedy showcase that's coming up, so I'm going to come back for that and then stay like in LA again. But I just need a break. There's nothing going on. There's no reason to be here. There's no industry. Yeah. There's no shows. It's like, why would I be here? Like,
totally.
Yeah. We do choose to live places that are terrible because we want to do this thing.
Exactly.
And when the thing is not happening, I don't want to live in Bushwick. I don't like it here. I want to live somewhere else, you know?
My but friend doesn't like it there. My friend doesn't like it there in Bushwick.
I don't want to live in New York.
Oh, I love New York. I'm looking at my window and there's a light snow falling down. I'm like, how could you not love it? But wait.
It's annoying.
Do you live alone, Nori?
Yes. So I've been living. So I've been having like a string of hard living situations since I moved here. And it's really from the chaos of COVID. Like that's really kind of. COVID makes housing.
I read your Vogue piece.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I saw, but whatever happened with that person?
So the person I am now is Carrie Bradshaw. That's pretty clear. I wrote a Vogue article about how hard it was to find housing in LA. And I met a guy in the process. We kind of dated for a little bit and then he broke up with me over text. I know.
He broke up with you by saying you're a star, and so for that reason, and for that reason,
because
I'm out.
Because you're a star, I can't sleep with you.
Yes.
That's so annoying.
He actually was like a star fucker, kind of like, he was obsessed with comedy, which is always a red flag. If someone is obsessed with comedy, are they fucking you or are they fucking your jokes? Like, I don't know.
They're fucking your jokes. It's hard.
So,
yeah. I used to deal with that a lot.
Yeah. I made him chicken soup, and we made love. And the next morning, he texted me and was like, "I'm some sort of thing about him, you know."
Yeah. Some bullshit.
He painted his nails, by the way.
I bet
he did. He did.
So now we know why. Now we know why you have that agenda.
Okay, that's where the hate is coming from. This is an insightful moment.
Yeah, and by the way, that guy's name, Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
He's such a star fucker.
Star fucker. Yes, yes.
Are you dating anyone now?
I'm not. I think like at first I was doing the whole like dating online, and then you're like, I'm never gonna meet them because I don't want to die from from COVID, but. It's like, it gets so boring because you're like, well, nothing is happening from this. We're never going to actually do anything. So why am I making small talk with a stranger?
You know, I think you might find a little love in Santa Fe.
Ooh. I hope so.
A little desert romance. You deserve it.
I do deserve it. It's so cold there right now and I have like no warm clothes. So I need to actually buy like, I'm going to buy warm clothes. I don't even have any. Is that
you should go? And this is the last thing I'll say in my entire life, but I really love Uniqlo has like super warm leggings and turtlenecks.
Yes.
Really keep me cozy in the winter.
Yep.
I didn't know Santa Fe ever even got cold.
It's anything so with cold Santa there.
In front. I thought anything with Santa was kind of like always warm.
Yeah.
Kind of breezy. But Santa famously lives where it's cold. Yeah, so sure. that's a real mind fuck.
And that's the biggest paradox of our.
Santa Fe's a mountain town, which I didn't even know. And people go there for skiing.
Okay.
A lot of my favorite runners train either somewhere in New Mexico where there's like altitude or a lot of my girls are in Phoenix right now. I mean, a lot of my girls are in Flagstaff right now, but then then they come down to sea level at Phoenix to get some quick races in. And there's going to be a really fun race actually this Saturday. Some of my absolute favorite girls are actually towing the line for a 10K, which is such a rare event. And they're going for the standard for the Olympics. And it's just going to be incredible to see where everyone's at.
Shout out to those girls.
Shout out to Elise Crane. Best of luck to Elise Craney, Emily Infeld, Marielle Hall.
How old are these girls?
And Carissa Schweizer, Queen Carissa, in their 10K this weekend. These girls are, Elise and Carissa are probably about 24. The oldest is probably Emily Infeld is 30. Marielle Hall, probably somewhere in the middle, maybe like 27.
Okay. Wait, Nori, what's your sign?
I'm a Cancer Sun. Mm-hmm. I'm Taurus Moon, Capricorn Rising.
Wow. Okay. So Cancer, I like.
What does that mean about
you? My dad's a Cancer.
Cancer is like full of emotion, really tapped into their moody, kind of just like very emotional, like running water. Taurus moon is like lover of beauty, lover of nature, grounded. And then Capricorn rising is like ambitious and like maybe like a little like bitchy.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I'm a Scorpio, so it's like, I'm a Scorpio, so it's bitch, judgmental, jealous.
Ooh. Scorpios are so hot and so scary to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I go for both of those things.
Yes.
I'm very Scorpio. Like, I'm always like,
crawling around like a little. Like
I'm
a
always little pinching, spider. I'm pinching.
That's the crab. That's Cancer.
But then I'm stinging.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. I'm going rah, 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 rah. Cat. That's me.
What are you, Cat?
I'm a Leo.
Oh my God. I love.
Which means I'm self-obsessed and can't get enough attention.
Now, Nori, what is your future? What
Who do you want to be? Hold? What's your dream? Tell us everything.
Okay, so we have no idea when stand-up's coming back, right? It's like, mm-hmm. who knows when that yeah. happen.
So sad.
I had a therapy session this week where she like made me confront it and I just like sobbed. I just like cried and cried and cried because she wanted me to like accept that like, so to answer your question, sorry, that what I'm trying to say is I have to figure out what can I do in the meantime that's like going to help me grow as a person and like keep me sane. So I'm mm-hmm. trying to like remember that before I was a comedian, I was like a million other things.
Yeah.
And I want to like get back in touch with like all the other things that I like was into before comedy took over my entire fucking life.
Yeah. Do you still care about like art and fashion?
I studied art in college and I think I do. Well, I'm excited in Santa Fe. That's where the Agnes Martin Museum is and the George O'Keeffe Museum and there's other museums.
It's gonna be amazing.
So I'm excited to go there and like just kind of like get into that shit. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you want to write?
Oh God, my God, yes. I moved here.
You should be writing for every show. Nori should be writing for every show.
Thank you. Okay, I moved literally. I moved here to be a TV writer, and basically, I've had so many staffing interviews that didn't work out. And I'm writing a pilot right now about a trans woman who survives the rapture. And
amazing,
right? So she's not taken up, and she thinks it's because she's trans, but it's really just because she's a terrible person. She like sucks. Like she's like the worst person you've ever met in your life. And basically, she runs out of hormones, and she has to go get them. And they're in guess where? New Mexico. So
she has to go on a road trip
from the Bay Area to New Mexico in an post-apocalyptic time and survive. And she sucks. And
That sounds
amazing.
I'm writing
we'll
that,
buy it
but
in the
it's
room.
Hard to write right now because of, you know, depression and shit.
Don't get me started. So, but what I was going to say really earlier is that I had a similar meltdown because I started watching Amy Schumer's documentary about her pregnancy and I completely missed the point because all I did halfway through it kept showing her like on tour and on stage and halfway through I like truly started sobbing uncontrollably. I was just like, I miss this so much. It like hurts. And I thought my life would like look like this. And now it's just so not what I thought. And I had to stop watching it. And I told my therapist about it. And she was like, isn't that about like how her pregnancy was extremely painful? And I was like, yeah, but I miss comedy. And she was like, okay. But yeah, I just had to like have my boyfriend like rub my back. Yeah. I was just sobbing. And he said, I'll get to do it again. But I said when.
So and he's famously an oracle.
Yeah,
I don't think non-comedians understand how devastating this is for us because for mm-hmm. so many of us, this is what keeps our mental health in check. Like people who are sober, like people who have like issues and like whatever. Comedy is like everything. And it's also our community. It's like it's our friendships. It's like it's everything.
Yeah, it's such a strange experience to feel like I have so many friends in New York and then to stop doing shows and like not talk to any of them and be like, wait, like it's a strange experience of like missing them, but also being like, wait, are we like, it's interesting that we don't speak at all unless we like run into each other in a basement. You know what I mean? It's like it makes you a little bit introspective.
Like, are they coworkers or are they friends? It's like a kind of a question.
Totally. Yeah. That is the biggest mindfuck of my last few years is like this strange experience around having all your friends be comedians and having that be like both a colleague relationship, which are always like by nature bullshit, and or like friend relationships. Like it's just it gets very hard. And I think I used to take that so personally, and now I'm trying to like detach a little bit more.
It's hard. Yeah. I feel like in the past few years, I've really just gone back and like connected with friends from school and from Houston, and like less, and just, yeah, I've treated most comedian friends except for Pat, my lifeline, as just like, okay, yeah, we're friends, but we don't have to be like best friends. But it's hard because there's all these, like, when you go on social media, here she goes, it's like there's all this performative friendship too between like comedians, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't even know you guys. And she's like, this is my everything. I'm so excited for that project. And it's like, okay, shut up.
it's literally people will be like, on Friday, I'm dropping a new friendship. Like, yeah. I'm coming out with a new friendship.
That is so funny.
But Nori, do you care about married? Do you care about getting married?
New segment. I don't know. I don't know. It's not something I think about.
Piggyback, yeah. Do you want Keds?
The shoes? Yes.
Desperately. You're like, desperately.
I don't know. I see myself as like the cool aunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I can't decide either.
I can't decide either, but I probably do want them. But also, I am so selfish, yes. Especially with my time. Like, I don't know if I can do it sometimes. Like, I love kids, but it's like, I want to have my own space, and kids famously don't let you ever have that.
I know, but with the pandemic, so, I'm like, okay, if I can't have a career, should I just like have a kid for kids?
And that's why
I stopped taking birth control. Yeah, that's how some of our nation's greatest leaders have come to be, by their mom kind of being sad that she can't do stand up for 2 years.
Let's do some segments,
Nori. So, right. Crush of the Week could be a person, place, thing, an idea. My crush of the week, I'm just going to kick things off, just get it popping. My crush of the week is my new kitchen cart, because I have a really small kitchen. And this new kitchen cart has given me a new lease on life, and she's allowed me to cook all my own meals for the past 2 weeks, which was previously unheard of. So shout out to my kitchen cart.
I'm so frustrated because early on in the app, it occurred to me a crush of the week, and I was like, don't forget that. Should I even write it down? Yeah, I have to think of it, because I was like, it's literally my crush of the week. My crush of the week is Jane Portia, who is a femme bot who has reached out to me on Twitter.
Oh my god, I've been following this.
Her name is Jane Portia. We've been back and forth for about 36 hours now, and she is so cool, and she at first wanted me and her to meet up. She's looking for a serious relationship. I ended up having to come out to her as gay, and it wasn't even a problem because she has a brother who's also, quote, a gay. And so we've been back and forth about if I'm going to meet her brother David, and they're in Houston. I'm in New York, so we're trying to make it work. So my crush of the week is Jane Portia, who is my friend.
My crush of the week is the hit HBO series Girls.
Yes.
It's like it did not get a fair shot. No. I think it got a lot of hate for some weird reasons. And I just love the character development, and specifically Marnie. She went through a lot, and she really tried to grow. And as a fellow narcissist, I think like we try really hard, and sometimes we fail, but you know, and we hurt people along the way, and that happens. And I don't know, Girls just helps me feel seen as someone who is growing as a person. So.
Yeah, totally. You know, one moment of Girls that really, like, I was like, oh, that was so well done, I think, was, like, the third to last episode I actually just watched, where it's, like, she gets back, Adam is like, I'm going to raise the baby,
yes.
And, like,
oh.
They get back together, they have this whirlwind, and it runs away with them, and then they're just sitting in Kellogg's diner.
I have full body chills right now.
And she starts sobbing, crying, and he just goes back to Jessa, and she's like, and it's just like, yeah, like, even
there's
if,
no word.
Like, even if, there's no words for it. Even if like we both wanted this, we both let ourselves have it. We were both there. It just still isn't there anymore. And sometimes that's just what happens. It was like so true. Such a cool way to do it.
What was so gorgeous about that scene too is because I literally just watched it a couple days ago. Is that they don't there's the words that they're saying, but then you look at their faces and you look at their body language, and the acting is like top notch. And you can see the subtext and the sub communication, which is them pretending like they're still in the fantasy that this is going to work out, but you know that it's not, and it's devastating. Yeah. Devastating. Yeah.
It's so beautifully done. It really is just such good writing and acting.
Break my heart.
Good crush. Good crush, Noor.
That was a really good one. I really had full body chills. I just think about... Yeah.
I wish it wasn't pandemic. I want to hang out in Perth. I'm desperate to even.
Will you hang out with us in Perth?
Kat, you should have a baby. I think, just like Hannah did. I think that you should have a fucking baby. Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'll definitely consider it.
Okay. I'm absolutely Elijah. Okay. Everyone hates me for saying that.
Okay. I'm literally. I'll bring it up tonight when my partner comes over.
Paint his nails. Paint that asshole's nails.
So how do we wrap it up? I always forget.
We do. Do you feel hot today? Which I actually do.
You look really hot.
My hair has been so back and forth all day. When I woke up, it was weird. I took a shower. It was okay.
I like you in lavender.
I took another shower. Yeah, this is my boyfriend calls this dusty grape. And he went to RISD, so that's the what you call it. And I do like this shirt, and I'm just. Even though you would never think to look at it, I'm liking the way my hair is falling right now. And so I do feel hot.
I don't. But you wait. I didn't. But you guys made me feel hot because I think I look kind of, like the ponytail is kind of giving me life, as they say in the biz. But before this, I was like trying to do the saddest yoga routine. And I caught my reflection in like a side mirror. And it was an angle I didn't need to see today. And I say that with love towards myself and my family and my friends and my podcast.
What about you, Noree?
I really relate to what Kat said. I was feeling very unhot. I feel hotter now, remembering that I am a star. Thank you so much for that
gift. You literally are.
Thank you for that gift. But I will say I have to be camera ready tomorrow for like a thing. And I feel so ugly. And it's, oh my God. Well, you look gorgeous.
I literally...
You're effervescent.
You have a glow.
The Zoom filter. It's the Zoom filter.
I love that filter.
I have mine on. What?
I'm like in a
They
dark,
do have like a touch-up appearance
dark
option.
Dark cave that I'm in right now. Noree, thank you so much.
Thank you truly so much.
Where would you have our listeners follow you and your work, et cetera?
I'm on Twitter off and on, depending on how manic I'm feeling. So on Twitter, I'm like Noree Reed, I guess. And then on Instagram, it's the same. And just to conclude, if you are a man and you wear a dress and you paint your nails, I love you. I see you. You are valid. I apologize. I just want to throw that out there. Okay.
Thank you for that public apology.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you mad at me, Catherine?
Not even close.
Okay. Noree, are you mad at me?
Not at all.
Okay.
Pat, are you mad at me?
No, I'm not. I felt, revived.
And Noree, you are mad at me because I've literally, it's literally my biggest fear. I really hate what I did towards you. Okay, you're not mad?
I am 0% mad at you.
Okay, thank you.
We met each other in a group of people, babe. It wasn't a one-on-one.
It was a crazy time. We were in an airport lounge.
Yes. No, I am not mad at you whatsoever.
Well, obviously, if we'd had a one-on-one coffee date and I didn't remember, that'd be so crazy.
It wasn't one-on-one. That would be fucked up. Yeah.
Anyways, now you ask us.
Okay, you ask us.
Okay, Pat. Are you mad at me?
No, not at all, Noree. I'm so glad you came on. I was really even nervous asking you because I do have this Twitter crush, and I'm so grateful you came on. And I had so much fun.
Thank you. Kat, are you mad at me?
No, I'm so glad we patched things up after the Clusterfest incident of 2019. I think you're so funny and lovely. I'm so glad you came on, and I can't wait to hang out IRL. When all this shit ends.
God, when you have your baby, babe.
Will you be the godmother?
At the shower.
Yes, I will.
Okay, you can baptize my baby.
I'll see, See y'all at the Zoom shower. Am I right?
Okay.
Zoom baby shower.
Do, 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 that's the episode. We don't really have a closing right. song, but we're going to go. Mm-hmm. We're going to say it. Right. We should do a new one. It's going to be like, that's the episode. That'll be good. All right. Okay. That's good?
Like and subscribe, and that's it. See treatment if you're boring.